We're in the water. We can't exactly get out and run out and hide behind a tree. We don't have any towels. There's no place for us to go.
I was arrested for indecent exposure in Provincetown, Massachusetts.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Stoop Storytelling Series podcast. I'm Laura Wexler.
I'm Jessica Hinken.
This week on the podcast, Free As We Were, two stories about women bearing it all. Jessica has written bearing it all, B-E-A-R-I-N-G, instead of bearing it all, B-A-R-I-N-G.
Well, there's a reason.
Bearing it all in the wild, back in the day.
And there's a reason for it, because they are not only bearing it, but they're also enduring, maybe.
Nice. Is the way.
Yeah. So this first is from Barbara Amon, and this is a story that she told about a hike that she took with friends long ago. Take a listen.
So the story I'm going to tell you took place in the mid-80s when I was in graduate school at Penn State. And if you've ever been to Penn State, you know that it's smack in the middle, geographic middle of the state, which means it's not close to anything. And if you don't like football and you don't like heavy drinking, there's not a whole lot to do. And I fall into that category. But fortunately for me, I really like to go hiking and I like to go camping. And I've met a group of friends who also like to do this. So this story takes place on a camping trip that we took during that time. And this camping trip was a little bit different than our normal camping trips because we had recently been to New York City and we had visited with some friends of friends and become quite close to them. And the two women that I'm talking about, one was Liz, who had grown up in Queens and had a really good, strong Queens accent. And she also had that New York attitude that's a little aggressive, but also kind of fun. And there was also Julia, who had grown up in Manhattan, and she was very worldly, but she had never been camping. So we were very excited to introduce them to our camping experience. And so a group went out and found a camping place halfway between State College and New York, and we agreed on a time to meet on a dirt road in a state forest without GPS or cell phones, and we managed to meet at this one spot. So there were three people coming from New York and New Jersey, the two women, and my boyfriend, who is now my husband, and five of us from State College. And we arrived at the campsite, which was really not a campsite. It was just in the woods. And we hiked in about a mile, and we set up our camp, and we, you know, we were in this gorgeous location, and we made a wonderful dinner on a fire, the coals and the fire. We had chicken packets, and we ended the night with lots of beer and roasting marshmallows and having s'mores. The next day, we got up all ready to go for a hike. So we go for a really nice hike, and we're hiking through the woods, and it's really pretty, and there's streams, and this was a location where there was a lot of water, and there were these, like, spring freshwater little streams that were coming down. And later in the afternoon, it was August, and it's really, really hot and humid, and we're trying to impress our friends who've never been camping. So somewhere along the line, we make the decision that we need to get into one of those streams. And so we're very careful. We come to a place in the trail where the trail goes up away from this beautiful little stream, and we walk down to the stream and bushwhack down there, and we bushwhack up the stream until we find this really pretty little pool of water. It's about 3 feet deep. And the big bonus was there was this natural waterfall that came down that was like a slide. So we were pretty sure we were safe to go skinny dipping. And we did not have our bathing suits. We did not have our towels. So the only choice we had was to skinny dip. So we took off our clothes and we jumped into the water. And it's so cool and fun. And this sliding board was incredible. You could just slide down into the pool of water. And we're having the greatest time until we hear a noise. And we turn and look at the other bank that we didn't come from. And standing there are about a dozen Cub Scouts. And we know that they are Cub Scouts because they're wearing those little handkerchief things. And they've got their little uniforms on. And they're looking with big wide eyes. And they're pushing each other. And they're very excited. And we think they're about third to fifth graders. And you know third to fifth graders, they're the ones that think bodily functions are hysterical. So, you know, like words like poop and burp and that four-letter word that starts with an F, fart, are the most hysterical things you could say, right? And they're looking out at us, and they're seeing breasts and tits and ass and male grown-up penises. And they have a whole new vocabulary to tell their friends. So we are sitting there going, what do we do? We're in the water. We can't exactly get out and run out and hide behind a tree. We don't have any towels. There's no place for us to go. And so we're trying to figure out what should we do. And then the Cub Scout leader comes. And of course, he's one of those, one of the kids' fathers, right? And we're thinking, oh, this poor man. He's now got to deal with these third to fifth graders who are going to constantly talk about their camping trip in which they saw naked people and nothing else. And he's trying to move them along, and he's trying to figure out what is he going to tell their parents. And we're feeling pretty bad for him at this point. So anyway, we kind of look at each other, and we're like, what are we going to do? And we realize there's absolutely nothing we can do. One of my friends, Isaac, who's just about to slide down the slide, he gives a big whoop, and he goes flying down that slide into the pool, and we all just kind of relax and start frolicking in the water again. And the Cub Scouts keep coming, and it seemed like it was a really long line of Cub Scouts. But eventually they did clear. And at that point, we went back and kind of dried off and got our clothes on and realized that we had missed the trail on the other side of the creek. And in fact, that trail was very heavily used. So I felt a little bit bad, but also a little bit like, hey, I have a cool story. And that my friends, our friends that had gone camping, they were getting the whole experience. But I often think about on a different stage in a different city, if there is a not so young man who is telling the story of his first camping trip in which he camped in a tent and they cooked their food over the fireplace and they roasted their marshmallows and had s'mores and they saw naked people in the woods. Thank you.
So this story is just so great because I think she allows the buildup to reveal that it's a bunch of Cub Scouts who, and it's a long line of them, like a never-ending line of them who are witnessing,
yeah,
you know, their nude parts. She's a very studious scientist. So the way that she's just, of course, going to be kind of matter of fact and objective about the whole thing. It's so funny because she also, with a wink. I mean, she has a great sense of humor. So
do you think that Cub Scouts are still recounting that over the campfire?
Well, that's what she says at the end. I think they are, in fact, absolutely. I mean, why wouldn't you talk about that for a long, long time? Like, it's hilarious.
All right, we're going to take a quick break and we'll be back with another story from the Stoop.
So this next storyteller is Abby Marchesani. She was an art teacher for years with Baltimore City Public Schools, with Gifted and Talented. She's just a very talented teacher herself. But this story takes place long ago again in Provincetown. Oh, it's just a great story. Take a listen.
I was arrested for indecent exposure in Provincetown, Massachusetts, when it was a tiny fishing village on the end of Cape Cod in the 70s. When the cop came to arrest me, I said, "There's nothing indecent about my body," and we all knew each other. It was a small town. Years later, he said, "I had to agree with you, but I got a formal complaint, so I had to take you in." How did this all start? Well, the story of me getting to Provincetown in and of itself is pretty interesting and very long. But let's just say it was a beautiful summer day, somewhere around 1974. Yes, I'm old. And my friend Glenn and I worked in the same restaurant, and we had the same day off. So he said, "Let me take you to this fabulous beach, Longnook and Truro." Ah, you know it. I had heard about it. I had never been there. 150-foot dunes that cascaded down into the ocean. I couldn't wait. So we drove out there in his beat-up old car with his illegally obtained Truro parking sticker. Some of you may know about that. And instead of parking in the public lot, we pulled off on the side of the road next to a narrow dune path. And we unloaded the car, the cooler, heavy, filled with everything you'd need for a full day on the beach. Beach toys, I think we may have had an umbrella, it's been a while. And we started to walk down this long path, through the bayberries, through the blueberries, through the dune grass, and through the scrub pine. It was beautiful. Yeah, there were deer flies, and there was poison ivy. It was still beautiful, and we walked, and we walked, and it was still beautiful. And then we walked some more, and I finally said, "Why didn't we park in the lot and go right down to the beach? They have showers there. They have toilets. They have lifeguards." He said, "Bear with me. This is a great place. You're going to love it." So we walk some more, and then finally we get to an opening in the vegetation to the left, and I know the ocean's that way. And he says, I'm going to go down first. It's a pretty steep dune, so watch your step. Be careful. I'm going to bring everything down and set up for the day for us." I said, "Great." So I'm mincing down the dune, and I am paying particular attention to my feet. It was a little bit tricky and steep and sandy. And then I get to the bottom, and there's the Prussian blue Atlantic Ocean. Oh my God, it was gorgeous. To my left, no kidding, no shit, 3 miles of uninhabited National Seashore Beach. You couldn't even see the public beach umbrellas from here. To my right, an entire colony of beachgoers doing exactly what you would think people would do on the beach. Children were digging in the sand. Families were picnicking. People were reading in their beach chairs that they had also carted out there. There were maybe a couple hundred people there, spread out nicely. People were body surfing. People were playing volleyball. Someone carried a volleyball net down that far. And not a single one of them had a stitch of clothes on. So I turned to my friend Glenn. I said, "Fuck you, Glenn. Why didn't you tell me you were taking me to the nude beach?" And he said, "Lighten up. Get with the program." Bare-assed, he runs into the water. dives into the ocean. I thought I was such a liberal. I marched in the first women's lib parade ever down Fifth Avenue by myself. And I was totally embarrassed on this beach. So I lay down flat as I could on the blanket, not wishing to be noticed because I had clothes on, a very tiny bikini. So after a while, the day was lovely, the breeze was soft, the ocean was blue, the sky was golden. I took off the top. I said, oh, I don't want any tan lines, but I plastered myself down on the blanket again. And then I rolled over. Meanwhile, Glenn is in and out of the ocean. We've got gourmet sandwiches and beer and all that, having a normal beach day, sort of. So I laid down this time on my belly, and I shimmied out of my bathing suit bottom, but I still kept a very low profile. And then I just couldn't resist it. Everybody seemed to be having such a wonderful time in the water. So I ran quickly down to the water, and I dunked in up to my neck. And nobody seemed to care about what I was doing. They were enjoying their beach day with their families, all shapes, sizes, ages. Well, there are a lot of wonderful memories about that beach, but there is one that I have in particular that kind of speaks to what it meant to all of us who went there. It was a serene location. It was idyllic. It was Eden-like, utopian, whatever the words you want to use. One day I was there, sitting on my blanket, and I noticed off in the distance, a couple miles away, someone was awkwardly making their way up the beach, just one person. And the movement was so unusual. I was wondering, they were very tiny in the distance, a couple miles away. And then as this person got closer, I was wondering, what's going on here? It turned out to be a man, a young man, maybe in his 20s, late 20s, who was on crutches with only one leg. And he had made his way 2 or 3 miles from the public beach to the nude beach. And I thought to myself, war vet. And that was the era of Vietnam. His leg had been severed off at about the hip. He got himself close to the water. He carefully laid down his crutches, sat in the sand, removed his bathing trunks, crawled to the edge of the water, and took off like a dolphin. It was amazing. That's what that kind of freedom was like. There was no sexualization. Everybody kind of boiled down to the same thing with a few minor bumps and lumps in different places. So how did I get arrested? Well, I took that liberal feeling, like many of us did, and I took it to my neighbor's big old deck on Provincetown Harbor because he invited us to sunbathe in the nude. And we took it a bit further. We went into the water, and then we took it a bit further, and we sat on the rock. Well, I did. I sat on the rock jetty, kind of sunning, you know. And we didn't think it was fair, but a guest house owner complained to the police. And she sent them to arrest moi. So I got into the cruiser, and they took me to the basement of the Provincetown Town Hall, where the jails used to be, the cells, and that's where the police station was. The police chief didn't like me very much because I asked for my one phone call, just like in the movies. And I called a Cracker Jack Boston lawyer because he was a neighbor and a friend. And he also was very much into social justice, and I refused to go in front of a judge saying that I was indecent. I was going to fight it. And I knew he'd be right into this. And I knew he wouldn't charge me. So I did appear in court, and I wore a nice little prim shirt waist, and the judge just covered his face. He didn't want to get anywhere near this story with a 10-foot pole, because if he had found me not guilty, it would have set a precedent in the town of Provincetown and perhaps on the Cape, etc. So he threw the case out, and I was happy with that. Do you have time? 2 minutes? Okay. So I'll end with this. I got ambushed again to be an advocate for the nude beach, because my friend Larry came and dragged me out of bed one day and said, we're going to the Free Beach demonstration. I said, no, we're not going. You're going. He said, no, you're going. So he talked me into it. We went to Brush Hollow in Truro on the National Seashore, and we plopped ourselves down on a blanket with 2,000 other naked bathers, and we had a day at the beach. One of the protest points was that the rangers were giving out $500 tickets to nude bathers, and they had to travel 3 miles on all-terrain vehicles to do that. The only people clothed on the beach that day were the news media and the people standing on top of the dune, and there may be 100 of them with binoculars taking a look at it. So, as luck would have it, a television reporter saw me and put his microphone under my chin and says, may I interview you? And I went, ooh, I don't know. And then I thought, well, you know, it's important to me and to all of us, this sense of freedom that we feel. So I remember two questions that he asked me. The first one, he said, do you have any clothes on? I said, I do not. And the last question he asked me was, how do you feel about nude bathing and dedicated beaches? And I said, I don't feel one way or the other about it. It's a very natural thing. From the shoulders up, I was on national news because it was the National Seashore, and he signed off for that line. Thank you.
So what she doesn't mention, because she was short on time, as you can hear her say, like, how much time do I have, is that picture that was taken of her at the very end, got published everywhere. So, like, her family and friends, and it got published in the national news, and it was on the national news, and there were only three channels back then. So she was very much on the national news for being nude in Provincetown. But she was very proud of it. She's a real spitfire. I love her.
Thanks so much for joining us today. If you want to learn more about The Stoop and what we do and the shows we have and listen to stories from way back in 2006, you can visit stoopstorytelling.com. We want to thank Maureen Harvey for producing the show, and we will be back soon with more stories from The Stoop.